Good morning, Poplar Springs. Wherever you are, we miss seeing your faces, but we trust that you are at home, staying healthy, and taking care of your families, and we do hope to see you in the coming weeks. But for now, just a few announcements for you, wherever you are. Church Council, we will not be meeting today, but please do look for an email this week from your staff. And as crazy as this sounds, if you are a youth planning to go to Caswell, so that's anyone who will have completed sixth grade by the summer, that deposit is due in 3 weeks, and it is completely refundable if it turns out that we cannot go, but that will be due in 3 weeks. You can bring it by the church. You can drop it off in the mail, whatever works for you. And for those of you who did not see the newsletter or did not get the church text or phone call this week, a decision has been made that we will continue to meet virtually until February 7th at least. And that decision was made after speaking with our health promotion team, our church council, our staff, and our deacon board. So that will be, we will be meeting like this until at least February 7th. And this time we're going to have our time of prayer, and we have lots of prayer requests for you today, Poplar Springs. If you will please be remembering Kent Russ, he's in surgery this morning for a kidney stone. Stephanie Poston, who is recovering from surgery this week, that is Gary Poston's sister-in-law. Susie Buckner, as she begins a new treatment plan for her pancreatic cancer. Tim Trexler, who's the pastor at Mount Sinai, who lost his mother recently. For the family of Curtis Tesnier, that was the grandfather of Bambi Jones and Ricky Tesnier, who passed away this week. For the Sandy Plains Baptist Church family, and for the family of Donna English, who passed away this week, we put her out on our prayer chain as she was in ICU with COVID, and she passed away, and she was their minister of music at Sandy Plains Baptist Church, so please be remembering their church staff and their church family. Of course, everyone with friends and family dealing with the virus, for our leaders in our community, state, and nation, for discernment and guidance as they make decisions to protect us in the days ahead and for our country. I'm going to start this prayer with some time of silence and allow you to lift those up and for your own concerns that are on your heart. And then I'm going to pray a prayer that I have written for myself and for my own heart and for where I am, and I invite you to pray it with me because maybe these same words are on your heart. So as we begin, I'll give you a time to pray on your own, and then I will conclude our time of prayer together. Let's pray. God, we come to you today after another difficult week of living in a world that is broken and hurting. And we ask you to help us remember that even though we have hated our neighbor instead of loving, that we are still your people, the ones that you love. That even though we have quickly spoken words of destruction and division instead of being slow to speak in anger, help us remember that you still equip us as we are willing to bring hope and healing to the world. That even though we have so often only offered lies and judgment to our enemies instead of sharing your grace and compassion, help us remember that each day is a new day and a chance to put off the old, to stop acting like the people around us just because they are around us, the people we agree with just because we voted the same, the people we're related to just because it's easy, the people we live with, work with, carpool with, play sports with, and share meals with. And to start living instead, living and acting and loving as the ones you called us to be, even if it means we step out alone. And remind us what that looks like, because chances are we aren't seeing it on Facebook or Netflix or the news, no matter which station we watch. And God, when the days are dark and your work is hard, remind us that we are never out of reach, that you are walking beside us into each new day, as different or scary or difficult as it may be. Amen.
Blessed are those who are poor, for the kingdom of God will be yours. Those who have ears, let them hear. Our God is drawing us near. Blessed are those who are sad, for in time your hearts will be and say, give praise to the Father above. Blessed are those who are meek, for the earth will be left in your keep. Those who have ears, let them hear. Our God is drawing us near. Blessed are those who are pure, for your vision will rest in the Lord. Those who have ears, let them hear. Our God is drawing us near. You are the light, light of the world, so shine your light in love. First, God will come and quench your thirst. Those who have ears, let them hear. Our God is drawing us near. Those who have ears, let them hear. Our God is
Thank you, Gillian and the Francis family. You did a great job. Appreciate that. Beautiful music this morning. I'll have to admit, I'm rather apprehensive this morning because on Friday I was tuned up, programmed, charged up at Winston-Salem, and with my Parkinson's, my Parkinson's treatment. And so I don't know what to expect today. So we'll find out. I want to get started because I feel good right now, so we want to make sure we make it through this thing. But I appreciate you, many folks who've expressed interest and shared with me. You've been thinking about me and praying for me. And I was at the grocery store the other day, and a friend of mine, Grady, said, "Andy, you're looking good." So I said, "Thank you." So I hope I do good today. So let's pray about that. Scripture today comes from Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 17. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in one they have not heard of? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed your message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the word that comes to us in a variety of different ways. I pray, God, that we will seek to listen and to hear your word and what you share with us, that we will be ready and willing to share with others the good news of Jesus Christ. Help us to understand, Father, our faith is a work in progress, that it grows, and sometimes the mustard seed-sized faith is all we have to depend on. So I pray, God, you'll just help us to learn to be patient and to grow in the faith and to learn and grow every day. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Contained in Romans chapter 10, the passage where Paul is trying in his very rambling way, which he does quite often, and sometimes confusing way, he's trying to convince the Jews they can't earn salvation. We've talked about that for a number of weeks. We're not going to talk about it today. Within this passage is a life-changing verse God used back in my teenage years. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes as well. A verse God used to encourage me as a young person and during my first faith crisis. We go through those in our lives. We go through faith crisis. It was a fact of life for me. I went to Sunday school because Mom and Dad told me to. I went to worship services and hoped the pastor had a short sermon. Or better yet, we might have a special musical presentation. That was my life. I accepted and endured these moments and hours and days when I had to go to church. It was something that Mom and Dad expected of us. Looking back on my growing up years, I'm glad and thankful that my parents did not give me an option. My brother Ed and sister Susie and I, we were in church. We were supposed to be there, and Mom and Dad made sure we were there. There was none of this, Andy has decided he does not want to attend nursery today because it's just not one of his choices. It was something that there were no options unless you were sick, but that never worked for me because I never ran a fever. But the time comes for many, and it came for me, when our faith becomes our own. Not Mom's and Dad's faith, not the preacher's faith, not the Sunday school teacher's faith, but your faith. It's yours. You make a decision. God speaks to your heart, and you have a choice. You have a choice. It could be the fear of hell and not having the sufficient fire insurance. It could be the uncertainty of life and what lies ahead in the great unknown. But the time comes to decide. We have to decide. And you could possibly have a faith crisis at that point, a crisis of faith. When we take it seriously, when we ask ourselves, do I really buy into all this stuff? We've heard it all our lives. I've been in church all my life. I've heard this. Do I really buy into all this? Is it really true? Am I doomed because I dare to ask that question? We may think. I was surprised when I saw a documentary on Billy Graham that talked about his crisis. He endured a faith crisis during his ministry. Fortunately, he resolved it, and he influenced and changed lives through the powers of God. But like Paul, I can rejoice in the fact that God sent those in my own life to proclaim the good news. People who helped me through the years to grow. And they served as resources when I came to the crisis. We need folks like that. We need those who help us and help us to deal with the crisis. And help us in our faith and help us to grow in our faith. He quotes the prophet Isaiah as he says in verse 15. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The good news he is referring to here is the great news. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And the wonderful gospel is forgiveness, strength, and eternal life. And it's brought to us by people, faithful foot soldiers, the faithful proclaimers of the good news sent by God. They're sent by God. People in our lives who are sent to help us. The people who have beautiful feet. And we're reminded of them today. Paul says, we would not know it were it not for these. We wouldn't know it if it were not for these. Who listened to God, who took action. Blessed are these, he says. In verses 14 and 15, Paul says, how can they, those who don't know about Jesus, call on one they have not heard about? How can they call on one they have not heard about? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they've been sent? Very important thing to think about. Some important questions. I can remember a time when I wondered, even as a preschooler, is this all there is? What's in the future? Is there something beyond this life? I'll finish kindergarten. I'll go to Central School in Gaffney, South Carolina. I'll go to junior high. That's what middle school was called back in the old days. I'll attend Gaffney High School. I'll go to college, get a job, and probably get married and have kids. Is that it? Will it all just end? Is that going to be my life? Thankfully, I had parents of faith. Parents who had a faith. Mom and Dad told me about a place called heaven, and I was relieved to hear about it. It was elementary and assumed at points, but I would go there someday. Though my parents didn't say, Andy, you're a sinner doomed for hell. It was assumed I would be it would be a plus if I behaved myself, too. It was something to think about. But one day I would go there. There's a life beyond this one. And I'm glad they talked about that to me. Parents, never discount your role in initiating conversations of faith with your kids. How important that is. Welcome the questions. As difficult as they are, welcome the questions. Be sensitive to their concerns about committing to Christ and becoming a baptized believer and becoming active and member in God's church. Often we say to ourselves, my little one's asking questions. I need to get her to the preacher as soon as possible. I need to get him there so he can talk to him. I'm not sure I know the formula, and I could warp my child. We think that. There's no sales pitch and no secret recipe. Talk to the little one. Let them ask the questions, and let me add, there will be questions you cannot answer. There'll be questions you cannot answer because they ask some good ones every once in a while. And they've asked me those before as well. And I often worry when I talk to children, have I said the right thing? But we have to trust God and the Holy Spirit in that. You have two options when you talk to the child. Ramble long enough so that the child will say they understand the answer to their question even though they don't have a clue. Ramble and talk a lot. Or be honest and say, I just don't know, but with God's help, I'll help figure it out. We have those honest responses to our children. With all this being said, don't hear me saying don't bring your child to me when they're talking about Jesus and about the faith. Please do. Please do. I want to be a part of the process with you. But you don't need the Andy Oliver seal of approval. You don't need the Andy Oliver seal of genuine faith. I want to celebrate with you. I want to support you. I want to encourage you. It's great to talk to children. And if you know my system, it's time to have a milkshake with them to celebrate the wonderful decision they've made. It's very important that we talk to children, parents, about salvation and faith. Parents, you have a role in the salvation of your child. But there are other important people to remember and to think about. Folks, I believe, who are sent by God, as Paul talked about. I had Sunday school teachers who not only taught the lessons, but lived them. Sunday school teachers, you have a big role. Nell Jones was my Sunday school teacher when I was 8 or 9. I was an active youngster, to say the least. I was very active. You might even say I was somewhat disruptive. I had the need to entertain people. That's something I did. The thing I remember about Mrs. Jones is she loved me. She loved me. She did not laugh at my jokes or overlook my love of chaos. She simply put her hands on my shoulders, and she'd help me with crafts and talk about how much she loved me. She's been my inspiration in my own ministry. In my own ministry, I've looked back on the times when I've had difficulties in doing ministry with some people, and I would say to myself, those people know I love them. Mrs. Jones did that. She changed my life. Ray Clary was my junior high Sunday school teacher. He led us, all us boys, and maybe his family at times, up into his 1969 Ford LTD station wagon and take us to eat and out to bowl. He taught us how to be Christians out in the world and how to have fun as followers. It was good. It was simple. Wilson Truluck was the cool, funny, quick-witted high school and Sunday school teacher. He was an influence as well. He taught us it's okay to be a Christian with a sense of humor, to laugh and enjoy life. There's my high school training union teacher, Jim Owens. He had to sit beside me and sometimes sit on me in order to assist his wife, Gail, in getting the training union lesson done. Those were people who influenced my life. I had entertaining to do in that class, and he sat there and he helped me to listen and to understand. Whenever Mr. Owens sees me at this point, he shakes his head and lets me know that I'm a preacher, that if I'm a preacher, there's hope for many other people. There are preachers in my life who brought the blessed good news. People who brought the good news, you know who they are. Clarence Hampton, he made me aware that I was a sinner and in need of salvation. I'm thankful for him. I needed that salvation. Stuart Kersey, who helped and guided me as I sought God's will for my future, as I was learning and growing and trying to figure out what I would do with my life. William Pope, the first pastor I worked with, who showed me that God's love is evident in a pastor's love for his people. It's important that we love the church family and get in amongst them, and be a part of the family. Don't be aloof, but be a part of the family. I can say with Paul, as you think of some of those that brought the gospel of Christ to you, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Next, we want to consider Paul the questions Paul asks in verses 14 and 15. We need to think about these questions a little bit. And here they are. How can they hear without someone preaching to them? How can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? God calls people to proclaim the gospel. He calls people to proclaim the gospel. He sends us out into the world to proclaim, to share the good news. And preachers are not the only one preaching and proclaiming. They're not the only ones. You do it every day, if you're a follower of Christ. You're sent to the workplace. You're sent to the school. You're sent to the ball field or recreational facility. Or as Nicole said in her prayer, to the carpool. God calls. He sends us to places and the people. He sends us to places and the people. We're sent with a purpose. It's a hurting world out there. We've seen that this week. It's a mean world. It's discouraging. And you and I are sent with a message to share. The good news, the great news, is ours to share. And most of the time, the message is shared without the words. Without the words. By the way we treat other people. How do you treat others? The compassion we exhibit in our relationship with the hurting. There are a lot of hurting people out there. How do we relate to them? And our treatment of the less fortunate. Are they a nuisance? Are they something just to be ignored? And the way we treat our enemies. That's tough. How do we treat our enemies? And if asked, we tell the world we treat others with compassion and mercy because I'm a forgiven sinner. That's why I treat the people the way I do, because I too am a forgiven sinner. I once was lost in need of forgiveness, and I will be patient with other people because of that. And I will show concern for the needy, and I will trust in the midst of adversity, and I will love my enemies, as hard as that is. Because Jesus Christ came into the world fully human and fully God. That's hard for us to understand. But he came into the world fully human and fully God. He forgave my sin and made me right with God. He made me right with him through his personal sacrifice and his resurrection from the dead. He did that for me. He did that for you. He changed our lives, made us whole. He empowers me to withstand the world, even overcome the world. He gives me life forever. That's what Jesus does. In John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him should not perish but have life forever. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is the great news we live out. This is what we live out every day. God loves you, and he's not out to get you. That's great news. At the first of my message today, I told you that God used a verse in our passage today to change my life. He used a passage that changed my life forever in the midst of a teenage faith crisis. And here's the passage. This is the passage that changed me. I remember after numerous nights struggling with the questions about my faith. Is it for real? Is it really true? Did I have it or did I not have it? Is all this stuff I've been brought up with accurate? The things that mom and dad have told me, is this accurate information? Do the stories in the scriptures have relevance today? Do they relate to us today? And is the message of Christ true? This was scary for me. And I'll admit I was afraid. I was frightened. And I didn't know what would happen to me. I was a teenager wondering about God and truth of all things. I was wondering about God. What was going to happen to me? I had more than a few sleepless nights worrying because I was good at that. Then God in his infinite wisdom pointed out a passage to me. A passage that changed my life. It jumped from the page and immediately I was at peace. The verse was probably written for another situation and purpose, but it fit my needs that night. It changed me. I was in a faith struggle and the Holy Spirit used the word to assure me and set me on course. It was a very good night. Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. My faith wasn't fully developed. It wasn't fully developed. I had a lot more listening to do, a lot more hearing to do. God was saying, you're learning and you'll have a life of learning, Andy. As you hear and listen, you'll grow. And it has grown. I do believe with all my heart what I preach today. Gerald Gragg in his Interpreter's Bible defines this verse this way. It's about the work that awakens faith. The work that awakens faith. My faith was in need of work and effort. It was. To struggle and to dig and listen to what was being said in the word of Christ. My faith would come from what I heard in the days and months and years ahead. It would be developing. It would be growing. It was a work in progress. It was something that I would need to work on with God's help and his strength and the power of the Holy Spirit within me. And what is heard is the preaching of Christ according to the scripture. That's what we hear. The teaching of Christ enriches our lives, develops our faith, and changes us. Martin Luther said, we preach always him. We preach always him, him being Jesus. Which is what my seminary professor said about preaching. It always has to get around to Jesus. It always has to come around to Jesus. If it doesn't, we're just talking. So let's get around to Jesus. Let's get around to Jesus this morning. Are you troubled today? Is your heart heavy? Are you struggling with faith issues? Is that something that's on your mind right now? Is faith something that's coming, that's kind of hard to come by right now? Is life hopeless and meaningless? Sometimes it gets that way. Are you in the midst of a faith struggle? Could be. You may be an adult in the midst of a faith struggle. Hear the word of Jesus. Hear the word of Jesus. He loves you. He forgives you. He empowers you. He gives you life forever. And His word is a source of nourishment for our faith. Remember that. Never forget that. It's Jesus. Never forget Jesus. Have you asked Jesus into your life? Is He a part of your life? Is He the center of your life? Not just something on the outskirts there that we refer to when we have a hard time and we need help with homework or something like that. Is He the center of your life? Is He everything to you? Is He speaking to you today? Is He speaking to you today? Ask Him to come into your life. Ask Him to come in. Invite Him in. He pleads with us. He wants to come into your life. Ask Him to come into your life and then live for Him forever and always. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, awaken our faith. We struggle with it quite often. Father, awaken within us the need for Jesus Christ. Faith comes from hearing. Help us to listen to His words. Look at His example. And thank God. I thank You, God, for the folks who have been there, who've helped us in the faith struggles. And I pray, Father, You might use me or the staff or anyone here at this church to help folks who are struggling with the faith, that they may come to know Jesus Christ and the life He gives. We have a responsibility to be, we've been sent by You, we've been called by You. I believe fully in the call. How important that is, that we listen to the call of God, and that we go to the world and share the good news. Father, speak to us today. If there's someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, God, that You might awaken their hearts to the need for Him in their lives. They may come to know Him in a special way. Father, I pray that You'll help us to follow You. And when the faith looks like nothing more than a small mustard seed in our lives, I pray that we will seek to awaken it and help it to grow in Your power. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
You know, the institutional church has made living as a Christian pretty easy. And it should. That's part of the purpose of why we have church. We offer worship for people to come together and to praise God and be together as the church of God. We offer Bible studies for adults and for kids and for youth. We have opportunities to sing and use our talents to praise God. We have missions opportunities. We have times of prayer together. But sometimes when all of that is disrupted, it becomes a challenge for us. But I think we need to be reminded that this time we've had this past year where we've not been able to meet together, and we find ourselves in that time again, that instead of seeing it as a challenge for us, maybe a challenge that's been issued to us. Because see, when the church doors aren't open, when we're not able to be here for our regularly scheduled Christian events, then we're challenged to have to seek God out. We're challenged to find time to sit with God and pray. We're challenged to seek out community and fellowship. We're challenged to dig into our scripture ourselves. I hope that in this new year, especially right now in this month, that we won't have the thoughts of, I'll get back to that when the doors open again. When everything returns to normal, that's when I'll get back into my normal routine with Jesus. You know, right now, we're not meeting for these next few weeks. But God is still speaking. And so if God has been speaking to your heart, if He has been calling you to a first-time decision for Him, if He has been telling your family this is where you need to be, if there are decisions that you are compelled to make, if there are renewals that you need to make in your life, I hope that you won't hold off on those decisions because they're fresh right now. You can contact Andy. You can contact myself. You can contact Nicole. You can come by the church. You can call us. You can text us. We want to hear from you. And we don't want you to sit on these decisions. We want you to let us know about them so we can celebrate with you. I hope that we will be challenged to be the church even when the church can't meet together. Would you join me as we conclude our service today? God, this morning I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for this building. I'm thankful for its people. I'm thankful, God, for the staff in which get to work together here. God, I thank you for all the people who lead within our church and our church council and our deacons, our health promotion, God, our various committees that we have, all the people who are willing to step up and lead us. But God, in a time where we are still not able to live our Christian life and our church life as normal, help us not to look at these times as burdens upon us as Christians, but God, as a time where you are challenging us to step out. God, challenge us to find ways to share our faith. Challenge us to seek out time to spend in your word and to spend quietly with you. God, stir in our hearts and remind us what you've done for us. Remind us again who you are. Remind us that we are the salt and light of the earth. And in being reminded of those things, help us to step out and be them. And God, may we always be yearning for that day when we can come back and meet together again. For you have called us to be your people, and not only to live individually for you, God, but to live in community. Thank you for the community of Poplar Springs. God, in the coming week, in the coming months, in the coming year, may we never cease to praise you. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray.